This is it, the end of the Easter holidays. Back to work for some of us. Others never had a break. Back to school for the children and young people. New things to learn. To get us ready for tomorrow, I've got a little test for all of us. It's a true or false quiz. It's a hands up. It should come up on the screen. And we'll see how many people get the questions right. So it's a hands up. A cream egg contains 150 calories. Hands up if you think that's true. Ooh, hands up for false. Let's see our answer. True. You can have two for dinner this evening. Okay, next question. Earthworms breathe through their skin. Earthworms breathe through their skin. Hands up if you think that's true. Ooh, very good. Hands up if you think it's false. Just a few. Let's see. True. Very good. Very good. Okay, next one. The Atlantic is the biggest ocean on Earth. Hands up for true. Hands up for true. Couple. Hands up for false. Yep. False. It's the Pacific Ocean. Brilliant. And we've got another one. Spiders have six legs. Spiders have hands up for true. Nicola, your hand was up there for true. Yeah, anybody else? Hands up for false. Brilliant. How many legs do spiders have? They have eight legs. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Eight legs. Two more. The Bible contains 66 books. Here's a good Sunday morning question. The Bible contains 66 books. Hands up if you think that's true. Hands up if you think that's false. Okay, yeah, brilliant. We've got verbal and hands. True, very good, it's true. 66 books in the whole of the Bible. Adam and Eve had two sons. Hands up if you think that's true. Hands up if you think that's false. Hands up if you didn't put your hands up just then. This is Sunday morning, I don't want to get this wrong. Three, Cain, Abel, and Seth. Adam and Eve had three sons. We got one more. God will one day judge the world. Hands up if you think that's true. Hands up if you think that's false. Just a couple there. True. In fact, two of the many places. In Acts 17, the Bible says, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. Hebrews 9:27, man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. I think that's the end of our slides there. Thank you. There might be some new things we've learned there today, especially about spiders for some of us. And how about that last question there? How about that last question? Maybe you've never thought about that before. God will one day judge the world. It's true. The Bible tells us that one day judgment is coming. We're in the middle of a short series called The Life Ahead. And one thing the Bible teaches us is that judgment lies ahead for everyone. That we'll all one day stand before God. And we'll have to explain to him whether we've loved him with all our hearts or whether we've loved ourselves more. And God will decide whether we're guilty or innocent. That sounds a bit serious for a Sunday morning, doesn't it? For an all-age service. And how do we feel about that? Perhaps we feel angry. Who gives God the right to judge me? What sort of God is that? Scared. Perhaps we know deep down we're guilty, that the person we do love most in the world isn't God, but it's us. We live for ourselves and not for God, for the things that make us happy. And God is angry about that. Because if God made us, he owns us. And he deserves our love more than anything. And when we don't love him, it's like we're stealing ourselves from God. Imagine someone stealing your wallet, or stealing your handbag, or your Xbox 360, or your Nintendo Wii, or your best friend. You'd be angry. When we steal ourselves from God, he's angry. That's sin. And God is angry at sin, at our sin, because it offends God. It damages our relationship with him. And it damages the world. That's pretty serious. Judgment is coming for all of us. But we don't want to be judged. So perhaps we never talk about it. Pretend God doesn't exist. Or pretend he isn't angry at sin. That God's okay with sin. After all, he's a God of love. And some of that is true. God is a God of love. In fact, the Bible tells us God is love. At last, some good news on a Sunday morning. We might be thinking that. Yes, it is good news. It's great news. And because God is love, God's also made a way for us to face his judgment without worry, without being scared, without fear. Isn't that amazing? How is that? What do we do? Well, two things. And we're going to hear about those in a moment.
Right, today's reading is found on page 1066 in the Pew Bibles and is John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, and whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he is not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
Judgment is coming, but God's also made a way for us to face his judgment without worry, without being scared, without fear. Two things. And the first is, well, perhaps some of you can help me. Now, I've hidden around the pews some little vehicles. Have a look around you. There are seven round and abouts under the pews, maybe at the end of the cushions. If you find one, why don't you, young or old, why don't you come and bring it up to the front to me? There's seven in and around the pews, the cushions, tucked under. Oh, brilliant. Lovely, Henry. Let me take that one. Brilliant. Let me put that one there. Anyway, we've got 1-6 to go. We could be here a while. Ah, we've got a little one. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Anybody else found any? They're definitely there. They're definitely there. Tucked under the kneelers, tucked at the end of the red cushions, under the Bibles, right under the pews. We've got two. Two will do us, but I'd love to have bow. Brilliant. You're a hard looker. Well done. Good searching, good searching. Oh, and another one, Susanna. You've got one. Thank you very much. Oh, brilliant. We're there. We got note 5. I'll get the other two later, don't worry. Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Now, can someone tell me, I know they're very small, can someone tell me what these all, and I'll come and bring them down, what these all have in common? In fact, if you can see this, what's this one? Yep, Josiah?
A fire engine.
Fire engine. Brilliant. We've got a fire engine. What have we got here? We've got Todd. What's that one look like?
Police
truck. Brilliant. One of these here. Let me hold this one up further down the back. What does that look like to people? Big red rescue helicopter. Brilliant. We've also got here a fire truck and a fire car. What do those things all have in common? What do those things? Hands up. What do those things have in common? Rowena? They all have wheels. Brilliant. And they all have steering wheels. What might anything else we think they might have in common? Let me come up the back here. They are all part, hands down, brilliant, we've got our answer. They are all part of a rescue team. They are all rescue vehicles used for rescuing people. We've just heard read about God's rescue vehicle. You might want to keep your Bibles open. Have them open at page 1066, John 3, if that helps. God's rescue vehicle. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Judgment is coming. We need rescuing. Don't ignore it. Believe it. And believe in God's rescuer, his Son, Jesus. That's what this passage tells us. Believe in Jesus, the rescue vehicle from God's judgment. Believe in Jesus, verse 16, and we won't perish. Verse 18, we won't be condemned by God when judgment comes. That's good news. That's really great news. That's the gospel, the good news of God's rescue in Jesus. Because God is love, he's angry at all that's wrong with the world. Because God is love, he's made a way for us to be rescued from that. What an amazing God. And God's done it all. All we have to do is believe in the rescuer. Jesus did the hard bit on the cross. That's where he paid the price for our sin. He took God's judgment coming our way onto himself. That's pretty amazing. I don't know anyone who loves me as much as God does to do that. All we have to do is believe in God's rescuer, trust in him. Let me tell us a story. Are we sitting quietly? There was a man, we'll call him Bob. Bob lived in a lovely house in a lovely town by the sea. Can we picture Bob's lovely house in his lovely town, sat down by the sea? One day, he sat in his comfy seat and he switched the TV on and he saw the weather forecast. It was about to start raining, lots of rain. And so it did rain. The rain began to rain, and the rain began to rain and pour, and it kept going and going, and Bob could see the waters rising around him. His neighbours evacuated their homes to get to safety, but Bob didn't want to leave his. He was sure the floods wouldn't reach him, and in fact, he loved his house so much. He spent lots of time and energy on it. He didn't want to leave it, so he stayed. And he shut the curtains so he couldn't see it. But the rain was still there, and it kept going, and the floods came, and they rose, but still Bob didn't want to leave. People knocked on the door to warn him, but he said he'd wait. The storms got fiercer, and Bob moved higher and higher and higher up to the top of his house. Eventually, all he could do was cling to the TV aerial at the top. The winds howled and the waters were rising around him. A lifeboat came by to help Bob, but he didn't listen. "I'll be okay," he said. A rescue helicopter came, to which Bob said, "I'll be okay," he said as he hung on to the roof of the house. And then, well, the water came. And that was that for Bob. How silly of Bob. How silly. The rescuers came, but he was holding on to something else. He wouldn't let it go. At first, he didn't think he needed rescuing. But he thought he'd do things his way. Sadly, he missed the rescue. The second bit of our reading shows us we can be a bit like that. Verse 19, Jesus is the light. He's the rescue. But look again at the end of verse 19. We don't like that. Verse 20, we don't want Jesus to rescue us. We love loving ourselves the most. We love living for ourselves the most. Being God instead of God in our lives. It's fun playing at being God. But we're not God. And it's hard to admit that maybe that's not the best way to live. That there are consequences, that our choices aren't perhaps the best ones. That we get it, we've got it wrong. I don't like getting things wrong. It's easier to find any reason not to admit that, to pretend like it doesn't exist. But just because we don't believe something doesn't mean it isn't true. I might not believe eating all my Easter eggs and buying more and eating all of those will make me fat. But I'd be wrong. It's just not the truth. And I've already eaten too many Easter eggs and can see the consequences. But I love chocolate, and so I tell myself that one extra bite isn't really going to make a difference. I'm going to need bigger clothes soon if I'm not careful. What do we do about judgment? The first thing God tells us, judgment is coming. Believe in the Son. God sent him as our rescuer. Jesus died in our place. And God raised Jesus from the dead, 1 Thessalonians 1, to rescue us from the coming wrath.
Today's second reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 10, and that's page 1160. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident, and know that for as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from God. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him, for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
What do we do about judgment? The first thing God tells us, judgment is coming. Believe in the Son who came to rescue us from the coming wrath. And if we've done that, we have indeed been rescued. It's amazing. The Bible tells us there is no condemnation for those trusting in Jesus. We've been acquitted. We've been declared innocent. We don't have to fear God's judgment for loving ourselves more than him. Judgment is coming, but how wonderful to know we are safe and secure, trusting in Jesus while we wait. But that's not always easy. Waiting is hard. I'm not particularly patient. And I know in Britain we're good at queuing for things in the supermarket or on the lunch queue or in the motorway. But sometimes it's hard. We're in the queue at the supermarket, getting a bit jittery, looking around. Why is that queue going quicker than mine? Should I jump queues? Is there a new till or is there a new queue jumping, a new queue opening soon? Or children, here's one for you. Hands up if you've ever heard mum or dad beep the horn in the car. Hands up. One very quick hand up there. Some other very definite hands up there, including my own children. Thank you. Sometimes waiting is hard. We're not very patient. And waiting is a theme of our second reading, page 1160, if you've still got that open. If we're trusting in Jesus, he has rescued us. On Judgment Day, verse 10, we will all stand before Jesus, the judge, to give an account of our lives. But we do that knowing the judge is also our rescuer and that he'll invite us to live with him forever. A new body, a new home, much better than anything we have now and lasting forever. In fact, verse 1, the picture we're given is the difference between a glorious mansion and a flimsy little tent. If we're trusting in the rescuer, we've been rescued, but we're not quite there yet. We're in the rescue helicopter, so it's all okay, but we've not yet landed. We've not yet arrived. So we're waiting. And what do we do while we wait for judgment? Well, waiting is hard. If we know something great, something exciting, something better's coming, it's even harder to wait. Easter eggs, or Christmas, or birthdays, or holidays, or back to school for parents, or the new car, or the year-end bonus. We long for the best thing to come. Oh, this tent, no space, flimsy walls, cold and dark at night. I want to live up here. This is where I want to be. Solid walls, better views. This is what I'm waiting for. But I have to be down here, waiting. And it's not easy waiting. It's hard. It's taking too long, and it's too difficult. So we might be tempted to take our eyes off what's to come, to get as settled as we can in our tent. After all, this is life now. This is what we see around us. We make it nice and comfortable, make it as easy to live in as possible. Then suddenly what's to come doesn't seem quite as exciting. We're settled here. And in fact, we've slowly begun loving ourselves and living for ourselves again. Efforts to make ourselves happy and comfortable. We started off waiting for the better thing, but it seems so distant and far off. And we've worked really hard for ourselves. In fact, it's okay in here now. And we found verse 7, we're not living by faith, but by sight. Verse 8, don't lose that longing, the confidence in what's to come, the confidence that what's to come is the main event. The real thing. Verse 7, live by faith, not by sight. Don't get so comfortable we stop looking forward to what's to come. Let go of the things of the tent. And don't stop being thankful for the rescue. The costly rescue. The sadness of Good Friday. The joy of Easter Sunday. Keep hold of those every day. Keep loving God for who he is. God is love. And for what he's done, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There is no condemnation for those who are trusting in Jesus. We're not home yet, but don't take our eyes off what's to come. Judgment is coming for all of us. Believe in the Son and live by faith. I'm going to lead us in a prayer to close. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done and offer us through faith in Jesus, trusting in him, the rescuer. Please turn each of our hearts to do that today and keep each of us living by faith as we wait for the fullness of that rescue, the wonder of what's to come. And let us never be complacent that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for our lives before we reach our final destination, wherever that might be. Help us therefore to love you with all our hearts and live for you with all our lives, all our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.